Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah.
His brother, I believe it's Clayton George here from Iowa. Is he here? Where is he? Raise your hand. God bless you, brother. Come on in here just a moment, would you? His life has been touched. I want you to stand there just a moment. In the last two ministers' conferences, because of the times, and he and his family and church were on an extended fast. I think around 30 days with nothing but water for this conference. And I want to give praise to God for their church and their sacrifice and their praise. I give glory to God. This is going to be a great day. I want us to pull together in one mind and one accord. The Bible says, gird up the loins of your mind. Pull everything together, everything we've heard. Let's gird everything up and let's get in one mind and one accord and see what God's going to do for us today. It's going to be great. Unspoken request, could we signify that for the raising of hands? Let's pray for every speaker that the anointing of God will rest upon him. Would you raise your hands toward heaven and go before the throne? Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 God bless you. You may be seated. Evangelism is the key. Evangelism is our purpose. Evangelism is our goal. We have to be revivalists that keeps the church inspired. But we also have to be evangelists. Our purpose is to evangelize our community. We've got to get the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ somehow in the hands of every person in our city. And one of the greatest evangelistic tools that we have on our hands is our worship services where the church gathers together. The evangelistic church will always have evangelistic services. Sinners have top priority at this church. If I have a Bible study and look up and there are a good number of sinners here, the Bible study gets axed and I preach an evangelistic sermon. Every time I have an opportunity to preach to a group of sinners, I'm going to preach to sinners. We've got to somehow program our mind what our purpose is. Pastors, evangelists, for the perfecting of the saints, yes. But also, his main purpose and goal was to seek and to save that which is lost. We have to leave because of the time with the purpose of Jesus Christ at the core of our heart, and that is to evangelize the world. When you leave here tonight and the night faces you when you walk out the doors, remember the great services. Remember the call to repentance. Remember the shout. But the reason for these 3 nights and 2 days is so we could better equip and motivate ourselves to go home and reach our cities with the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the evangelistic service is a very strong part of evangelizing our city. No growing church can afford to be unconcerned about the quality of the evangelistic service. Dr. Paul Benjamin in The Growing Congregation that I read says, one of the instruments of God in bringing the gospel to millions on the North American continent is the evangelistic meeting. This, I believe, we must exploit and use the tool to its fullest potential. First of all, planning an evangelistic service. By God's help, we can put together a professionally designed service that when the Holy Ghost anoints that professionally designed service, it brings people in contact with Almighty God. Good services just don't happen. God honors plans. God honors study. And when you plan your service, and when you study for your service, God will anoint that service. I'm not talking about your preaching. I'm talking about the service. God will anoint that service. Open your Bibles with me to Exodus, the 30th chapter, verses 34 through 36. Brother Kershaw read this particular passage of Scripture, but I'm going to deal with it totally different. Exodus 30, verses 34 through 36. And the Lord said unto Moses, take unto thee sweet spices, stacta, onycha, and galbanum, these sweet spices with pure frankincense. Of each shall there be a like weight. And thou shalt make it a perfume, and a confection after the art of the apothecary, tempered together, pure and holy. And thou shalt beat some of it very small, and put it before the testimony in the tabernacle of the congregation. That's the altar of incense or the altar of praise. Where I will meet with thee, it shall be unto thee the most holy. The work of the apothecary was to mix up spices that when the children of Israel or the priests entered into the holy place, there was a fresh smell. There was a new smell. There was something new going on. It wasn't the same old odor. It wasn't the same old church service. There was something fresh. There was something new. There was something different every service. When people walk into our service, Lord have mercy, why do we get in such a rut and a routine in running our evangelistic services? We are apothecaries. Our job is to mix fresh incense together to create a fresh-smelling perfume that when people walk into our service, there's something fresh. There's something new. Before you ever preach your sermon, there's an anointing of God that's resting on that particular evangelistic service. Ecclesiastes 10 and 1. Turn there, please. Everybody say, I'm an apothecary. Ecclesiastes 10 and 1. Dead flies cause the anointment of the apothecary to send forth a stinking savour. So doth a little folly him that is in reputation for wisdom and honor. The apothecary was not doing his job and mixing up fresh odors, and a fly got the ointment of the perfume and it gave off a stinking savour. And it was the same smell and the same routine, and there was nothing fresh, and there was nothing new, and there was no new praises, and there was no new testimonies, and we made our same old cliches, and we make our same old statements. Well, let's praise the Lord. The Lord inhabits the praises of His people. That's the only scripture we know to lead people into praise. And we're not studying, we're not preparing ourselves for the evangelistic service. I'm getting ready to say something to you that may shock you, but I study just about as hard on how to run a service as I do for my Sunday night sermon. I stay on this young man's case. He's been here a year and a half, and it's a wonder I have not run him off. I cannot stand when the choir sings the same old songs. I cannot stand trios that's not learned new numbers. I cannot stand quartets that sing the same old songs. And we go through the same old routine. And you can sing them backwards. You know every part that they're singing. And there's nothing fresh. And there's nothing new. And there's nothing enlightening. We don't have any new songs. And we're singing the old courses, which we still sing here. Amazing grace. How great thou art. I wouldn't take nothing but a journey now. There's fire in the blood. We sang the other night, let us have a little talk with Jesus. You got to keep those courses there, but what's wrong with reaching down and getting something new and presenting your congregation with some new courses to bring a new smell and freshen? It became dead. The first thing we need to do is define the goals of each service. In Alexandria, the Sunday night service. Wednesday night, I'm flexible. I can go evangelistic. There are sinners here. That's the way I'm going. If not, I teach a Bible study to the church. On Sunday morning, I'm flexible. I may preach to the church, or I may preach to sinners. It's whatever the Holy Ghost has given me, or whatever the congregation demands of me that particular morning. But Sunday night, I don't care if Brother Urshan's here. I don't care if the Pope is here. I don't care if Billy Graham's here. I'm not trying to impress him with my sermons. There's one thing that this church is programmed to on Sunday night. We are here to reach sinners. The goal of the Sunday night service is to reach sinners. The first thing you have to do with every evangel or every service that you have, whether it be Wednesday night, Sunday morning, or Sunday night, you've got to define the goal that you're going to try to obtain in that particular service. We leave too much to the Holy Ghost that the Holy Ghost didn't please with. We need to have a goal that the Holy Ghost has already spoken to you about in that previous week for that particular service. And everything in that service needs to be pointing towards that goal that you're trying to accomplish in that particular thing. Whether it's a communion service, whether you're going to preach on prayer, you need to build that service around a particular subject and make every part of that service contribute to the accomplishment of that goal. Know what new songs are being sung. A singing church is a happy church. Make your church sing. Make them smile. Put a smile on their face. Our people come to church, don't even smile. There's a unifying power in singing, in congregational singing. The trained and the untrained have the opportunity to blend their voices in praise and worship to Almighty God. Have your song leader select hymns. Have him select courses before you ever start church. Well, come here. Is Brother Charlie here? Where's Brother Charlie? I need somebody to lead the song service tonight. Oh, I got to have somebody to lead song service. Oh, Brother George couldn't make it. Why didn't he call me and tell me he wasn't going to be here tonight? Is there anybody here can lead a song service? We need somebody to lead song service for us tonight. Where's your preparation? Why haven't you the day before got a hold of your song leaders and said, look, I'm preaching on the blood tomorrow night. I want all of your courses. I want all of your songs to bring in the blood of Jesus Christ tomorrow night. You lead that congregation in worship towards the blood. Plan for your service. The theme of that service has to be there, the goal. You encourage every member of that congregation to open his heart to God in singing. The choir, the chorale, the quartet, the trio, the Davises and Sister Mickey, a trio, play a very intricate part of our worship service. They are key to us. This pastor, this choir director, gets together during the week. We have a tentatively scheduled, but at 5 to 10 minutes before church starts, this man is required to be in my office at 6:10. He is to have me at least 5 to 6 choir numbers. 3 of them slow, 3 of them fast. He is to have me at least 4 or 5 chorale numbers. 2 of them slow and 2 of them fast. The quartet is to have 2 songs. 1 of them fast. And 1 of them slow. Because I don't know, even after I plan, what the Holy Ghost is going to dictate.
Right.
I don't know what the Holy Ghost is going to demand. But there's one thing about it, Holy Ghost, whatever you want to do, we're ready for it.
Oh, yeah.
We prepare. Right. If you want a melancholy, laid-back service, we can cooperate, Holy Ghost. If you want a tearjerker, we can cooperate, Holy Ghost. If you want to get out and get after it, Holy Ghost, we're ready to bring the power down with the glory of the Lord. There has to be preparation. You've got to plan your service. You ought to go home. Everybody doesn't have a Jaron Davis. In fact, nobody does. He's the best one in the whole country. But I want to tell you, before he came along with Sister Laverne and Sister Mickey, I had it arranged the same way. Use what you have. Some of you may not have as many in your church as we have in our choir, but you take your little old 50 and 60, get you one person that can coordinate your music. You won't be able to put out a sound like this group, but brother, if you'll get your little old duet, or you'll get your little old man that strums his guitar, but if you plan that service and you put it together and you've got a fresh male there, when the anointing of God comes down and anoints that, it takes off. Typical Pentecost. Now we're going to have Sister, you ready? Sister Mickey Mangan sing a song. God bless you. Praise the Lord, everybody. Somebody, hallelujah. Somebody say, praise the Lord. Oh, isn't it great to be here tonight? Hallelujah. Praise God. I'm so glad y'all are with us. Praise the Lord. We're going to remember you, Sister George, in prayer. God bless you, sister. We're so glad you're here with us. My, we're having such a great time. Somebody else say hallelujah. Come on, this side say praise the Lord. This side say hallelujah. Thank you. God bless you.
I need an introduction. I'm not sorry about that. Pray for me while I try to sing. I'm not sorry at all. I'm not sorry. I answered the Master's call. Jesus took my heavy load. Now I'm on the Hudson Road. I'm not sorry at all. I'm not sorry. I answered the Master's call. Jesus took my heavy load. Now I'm on the glory road. I'm not sorry at all.
Sister Megan. Let's all praise the Lord. My God, good to us. It's funny, but it's sad. Now, come on, let's all be honest. We've all been right there. Woe be unto us.
That's right.
Holy Ghost, yes, He can still anoint it, but that's not what God wants. You tell anybody that's singing, you know who's singing. You tell them to get together on Saturday and know what key they're singing in. Know their introduction of their songs. Now, even after they practice, they can still mess up. But I'd rather have them messing up after they practice. At least I know they prepare, because the Holy Ghost is still anointed once they practice. You make them get together during the week and tell your trio, don't call anybody out of the congregation to sing if they hadn't practiced. Keep it fresh. Keep it new. Keep it exciting. And then when you do that, the Holy Ghost will come down and will saturate it, and the glory of God will rest upon this place. Oh, a well-planned program will enrich the lives who hear. Plan a celebration. We got to get to thinking with our church services. We don't need the same routine. Take a fifth Sunday now and then. This is going to sound blasphemy to you, but take a fifth Sunday. I wouldn't do it every Sunday because I love Sunday school. In fact, I don't do it but about three times a year. But I'll have a celebration of praise on a Sunday afternoon. I do a Bible study to our church, a typed out Bible study. On Wednesday night, I hand it to every man in our church. I say, Sunday morning at 10 o'clock, you're to wake your family up, and you're going to teach this study that I give you, and I want it taught in your home. And either that morning or that evening, that man teaches that outline that I have handed to them. But that Sunday afternoon, we just have one service. It's a 2 o'clock service. We advertise it. We promote it. All the other churches, denominational churches in the area, we let them know what's going on. They love our music in Alexandria. We bring in the Lanning Wolf Trio. We'll have the Davis Pedigo Band. We'll have another singing group. We'll have something special. We'll do a live recording for an album. We pack the place out. It's something fresh and new. I wouldn't dilly about do it every Sunday. Don't like it. But it brings a fresh smell to the church. It breaks us out of the same old rut and routine. And it gets us in a flow of the Holy Ghost. Avoid monotony and unnecessary preliminaries and rambling. I mean rambling. Brother, we have been in some services, and including myself, and I'm probably preaching myself as much as anybody, in preliminaries, stuff that just don't even matter to God. We just get up and ramble on, and it doesn't take us anywhere. And after you plan that service, expect great things to happen in that service. Reach out and tune in to God's ways. Exercise vision. There's a lot of things I can cover. This, what I am getting ready to say, is the most important thing of my entire lesson this morning. This is something that cannot be taught. It can only be prayed down and sought after. There is a sixth sense that every pastor has to grab. It's a built-in, in fact, it's called the gift of the Spirit. It's built inside of you, of how to hear and how to be sensitive to what the Holy Ghost is saying in that meeting. There is no because of the times that can teach you that. But when you walk out on that platform, you have your singers with different courses. You have the choir with two or three different songs. It's your job not to create the wind. You don't have to work up nothing. God is already here. The scientists did not create the atom. They discovered the atom. You don't create moving of the Spirit. You don't have to create nothing. All you've got to do is spiritually lick your finger and find out which way the wind is blowing and set your sails in that direction and allow the Holy Ghost to move.
The thing about running an evangelistic service is staying sensitive to the Spirit. Keep the sermon on the back burner until it's time to preach. But when I walk on this platform, I start looking over this congregation. I say, God, who do you want to bless tonight? What do you want to do in this service tonight? I look in every service for a break. I look in every service where that something can break loose. Where an Artesian well was spraying loose from every person that's in that building. I am constantly trying to be sensitive. This meeting, I lose my voice. I'm more tired when this meeting is over. And I don't want any glory because I don't need any glory. But let me tell you something. You're talking about pressure. It's running a meeting like this. Do you know one course, as far as I'm concerned, sung in the wrong place can mess up an entire meeting? You don't believe that, but I do. I believe that's just how sensitive the Holy Ghost is. I believe that we ought to have ears to hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. And we need to be sensitive to what's going on in that church service. Tuesday night, did you feel the heaviness come in this service? You felt the glory of the Lord as it began to come over. You know what the chorale had planned to sing? It was, "Wait till you see my brand new home." It would have fit Tuesday night like a size 20 on a size 9 foot. But if I would have just been so persistent, well, that's on my plan. That's what I have said. That's what we're going to do. Come on out here, Brother Paul. We're going to change this thing around. Bless God. Woo! We're going to shout and have ourselves a time. That's not what the Holy Ghost was saying. It was the Holy Ghost saying to repentance. The Holy Ghost didn't want any singing. They had a slow song to sing. The Holy Ghost didn't want any singing. It was time for us to hear from Brother Urson. That's where we have to get in the Lord for every church service. You've got to walk to your pulpit with your finger in the air, waiting to hear from God. If it's time to start a course, start a course. If the course don't fit, don't sing it. But be sensitive to the Holy Ghost and hear what the Spirit has to say to the church. Create your plans to reach your goals. Long-range planning pays off days in advance. Make sure they know their keys, the singers. Make sure they know the introductions to their song. Make sure they know the beats. Make sure the musicians have practiced. Make sure the players know what's going on. We would never think of placing a sign in the front door of our church, "Please stay away from our service." However, this message comes across by the way we run our church services. They are outdated. We've got the song leader's going to sing 3 songs. We're going to take the offering. Then we're going to take prayer requests. We're going to have a testimony service. I'm going to tell you, testimony services got us in trouble around here. Because we quit praising God and got to praising the devil. And I never was so more depressed after testimony services in all my life. So you know what I started doing? I started selecting me some. And I usually tell them, Brother Larry Clark here can tell you, I usually tell them before church starts so they can get something in their head. What good's an anointing if it's on an empty head? That's what's wrong with some of our preaching. Hello! I might as well go ahead and say it. That's what's wrong with some of our preaching. God's anointing empty heads. You better read yourself full and study yourself full. Then you can preach yourself empty. But God can't anoint empty heads. We get up and testify and we bless. The devil's been after me all day. Bless His holy name. It's been such a struggle. One dear sister in Plano, she finally pulled her testimony out. But oh, she depressed me. When I was pastoring in Plano, gas took off and we were waiting in long gas lines there in Plano. And she got up one day to testify. And she is testifying in the church service. She said, "Oh, I went to the grocery store and said, sugar's going up. I went to the meat department and meat's going up. I went and waited in the gas line and gas is going up. But praise God, one day I'm going up." Sure, it made some of our people mad, but I X'd testimony services. Wednesday night, now and then, I'll open it up. But I shake and tremble when I do. On Sunday night, There are no testimonies except from two or three that I allow to come to this pulpit that I know that the anointing of God is resting upon them. You say, boy, you don't allow the Holy Ghost. Oh, don't say that. I give the Holy Ghost all the room He wants. If the Holy Ghost gets on somebody, I never set them down. I allow the Holy Ghost to minister, but I don't open up the door if the Holy Ghost isn't there. You don't have to have testimony service unless you're impressed of God. And boy, I see some of you frowning, but you just got to frown. I'm telling you, folks, you've got sinners there that has come. Hey, you know what? And this is going to bury me. And we won't get nobody back next year, but I'm going to say it anyway. We're competing with Oral Roberts. We're competing with Jimmy Swaggart. Call yourself the original. That's fine and good, but we don't have to be ignorant. Just because we're Pentecost don't give us a license to be ignorant. Why can't we plan? Why can't we put some plants on the platform? Why can't we use some lights? I think the Holy Ghost has been doing a pretty good job anointing. Why can't we give our churches facelifts? Why can't we have a plexiglass pulpit if we want one? God really don't care. He really don't. In fact, He loves it. It's time we get it from behind the tracks. It's time we prepare. It's time we do things for God. It's time we get off of our pocketbooks and get our churches dressed up. Get them painted. Get them looking nice. That when a sinner walks in, there's a fresh smell. There's an anointing of God that's resting on our services. Oh, hallelujah. We can't run it the way it used to be run. Now, you heard what Brother Pugh preached to us. He said truth in transition. Truth will never change. Doctrine will never change. But we're living in the days of satellites and computers. And you've got to run a satellite church. And you got to run a computer church. I don't mean get computers and satellites, no. But I'm saying you've got to keep up with the times. You don't have to be old-time, it'll be old-fashioned. You can live in 1986 and still be apostolic. We can look nice and dress nice and brush our teeth and wear deodorant, really. Even though we are holy rollers, we can really do those things. And you better teach your people that. Every quarter or every 6 months at least, I shut down on a Wednesday night. I tell our altar workers, you brush your teeth. You get some mint in your pockets. Come up blowing onions in somebody's face while you're trying to pray them through the Holy Ghost. Sometimes they talk in tongues in defense. That's why they don't last very long, because it was them just saying, if you'll get out of my face, I'll get out of here. Teach them to wear deodorant, wear cologne. Ladies, fix your hair nice. Dress nice. Now, I'm not talking about poor folks turning them away. No, no. We've got them here. But we can teach them how to dress and look nice and act nice and get a dignity about them that the Holy Ghost is anointing them, that when somebody looks at them, they can say, I'm a child of the King. I'm somebody. But after you've done all of this, it still takes the main thing, the Holy Ghost. After you brush your teeth and plan your courses and jumped all over your minister of music and got everything lined up and the service is ready to go, you better make sure that the Holy Ghost is there. The great evangelistic church today have one thing in common. They are anointed by the Holy Ghost. And there's one way to get the Holy Ghost anointing, it is through prayer. I don't mean they had better be praying during the week, but I'm talking about collective prayer. Nobody is allowed on this platform on Sunday night that is not in the prayer room at 5:30. Nobody. If I see anybody in this choir that's on the platform that's not in the prayer room and I see them, I'll ask them to leave. You're getting to the altar of incense
and you're bypassing the altar of repentance before a priest could go into that tabernacle and minister at the showbread or the altar of praise. And once a year in the holiest of holies, he had to first of all stop at the altar of sacrifice and offer up a sacrifice to God. And before you have a right to sing one song, before your people have a right to clap one hand, before they got a right to minister anywhere in the tabernacle, they got to first of all go to the altar and offer up a sacrifice to God before they have an opportunity to worship. You do not have the right to worship, nor does your church, if they hadn't stopped. That's one thing the Catholics have over us. They make their people, when they come in the back door, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, they make a meal before they ever let them go sit. Prayer. Make everything on your platform. Now, I wouldn't go home and start all this overnight, or you'll just blow your people away. That's one thing that happened in some of our earlier meetings. Everybody left here so motivated and went home and started everything. You tear the place up. Please don't. You've got to go into all this slowly but surely. But start leading your church into a new dimension. And it begins with prayer. The altar is bigger than the ark. Measure it. Read your Bible. The ark could fit on the inside of the altar. So your ark is smaller than your altar. So the bigger the altar, the bigger the ark. The more prayer that's put into a service, the more power that's in that service. If you build a big altar, you will have a big God.
I got to close. I'm out of time. Well, isn't this great? I teach everybody the Bible of the clock. I'm not through, but I got a Bible of the clock. Okay? Do something new. We have dramas here. Easter, we spent, I'm going to tell you this, $14,000 on Messiah. But it packs people in this building. And we've had an effect on our city. Dramas. Choirs. Bringing in Pedigo and band. Do anything new and refreshing. Keep your people guessing. Greatest thing about this man is we never knew what was going to happen next. And it sure was fun. We didn't know whether he was going to come through that door, or down a wire from the balcony. A few Sunday nights ago, made the choir stay back. Corral came in. We had them come down the aisle, singing a chorus, shaking hands with visitors. Something new. We just wanted to change it up. Sometimes we'll start church with a chorus. Sometimes Corral will start it. Sometimes a singing group will start it. Sometimes the choir will march in and start it. Sometimes I walk in and I've heard a bunch of talking all service and I don't like it. And I tell everybody, hit your knees in the name of Jesus right now and seek God for this service. For 5 or 10 minutes, we open church service with prayer. The only thing you're required to do is pray, fast, and plan, and seek God, and use your brain that God gave you. If He called you, He'll give you ideas. Come on and think, and let's produce a Holy Ghost production that when people come into our services, the glory of the Lord will be resting upon them. And they'll say, oh, it smells good in here. Oh, it smells so good in here. There's a new smell. Oh, there's something fresh about our church service. It's not the same old routine, the same old thing. It's great here. Sweet. praise and worship singers. Put a mic in their hand. Let them help you lead your congregation in worship. Everybody sing it with us.
I love.
Would you stand?
And I lift my voice to worship you, O my soul. Rejoice, take joy.
The person's hand beside you and raise it toward heaven. Let's allow faith to flow in this place right now. Oh, hallelujah.
I love you, Lord. And I live my
right now.
Oh, my soul.
Prepare yourself to hear what God has to say.